All right, well, we're going to pick up in 1 Samuel chapter number 17, and as pastors already mentioned, this is a very familiar chapter in the Bible, a very familiar event in the Bible, and as has been said before from the pulpit, I believe it was a couple weeks ago, Pastor preached out of John 3:16. We have a tendency when we come to a very familiar verse or event in the Bible to almost not give it the attention it deserves because we feel like we've already heard it all or we know the story and we're so familiar with it. And it's honestly, for those that teach or preach, it's a task to try to preach from passages like 1 Samuel 17. I feel like I'm at a buffet, right? Now, some of you hate buffets, right? I know that. Some people just can't stand buffets, but if for those of you that don't like buffets, I feel like I'm at a family get-together, holiday gathering, right? And there's just so much to choose from. I was thinking about it, and I was like, you know, when I go to a buffet, I'm one of those people, I like everything. I go to Wood Grill, and I mean, it is difficult. Like, I stay away from that place for numerous reasons. One, I leave feeling worse than when I got there, right? And number two, I can't stand all those decisions, right? What am I going to eat? Because it all looks so good. Now, some of you, you know immediately you're going to go get those two items that you always get. But I want the sampler platter. At the holidays, Christmas, Thanksgiving, you got all those pies and desserts and puddings and whatever you call them. What are those things? You know, I don't know. Soufflés and that's right, yeah. He'll eat healthy stuff. I don't know what to get. I'm just like, there's Brandon Freeman's out there just knows I'm getting banana pudding every time. Every time. Doesn't matter what's there, I'm going for the banana pudding. I'm not like that. I'm struggling, right, to make a decision. Well, that's how I felt in 1 Samuel 17 this week. You're like, what are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about 1 Samuel 17. As I was studying and as I was reading and rereading and reading and rereading 1 Samuel 17, honestly, I felt like I was at a buffet. This chapter is loaded with truth. All the Bible is loaded with truth, but 1 Samuel 17 has got so many truths and so many angles and so many approaches that you can come at it that apply to our life. I mean, I've heard some of the greatest messages I've heard in the past 20 years of being a Christian have been out of 1 Samuel 17. I can think that so many youth conferences that I've been to, I've heard men preach 1 Samuel 17. And as I said, there's so many angles that you can approach it from. And so it's kind of hard to decide how am I going to approach this text. And so tonight, I'm going to try to just approach it from one angle, okay? And it's going to be difficult not to go verse by verse. It's going to be difficult not to point out truths that are just here and there, that are just packed in 1 Samuel 17. But I just want to try to give you one truth tonight, one thought that I hope will have an impact. And the thought that I want to share with you tonight is this. I want to talk to you about the power of one. The power of one. When I say the power of one, I want you to understand what I mean. I looked up a definition to power. I looked at numerous definitions to the word power, but this was the one that I liked and the one that I chose, the one that I felt like kind of explained what I'm talking about, and it was this. It said the ability or capacity to impact or affect a situation. That's what I'm talking about when I say the power of one. The ability or the capacity to impact or affect a situation. When we look at 1 Samuel chapter number 17, I believe we see the power of one displayed in numerous different situations, and we're going to look at a couple of those tonight. If you'll recall last week, this is kind of really the other side of last week's message. Last week, for those of you that were not here or those of you that were, and it feels like a week was a month ago, that's the way it feels sometimes. We talked about God is working even when we don't see it. That was the message last week. God is working even when we don't see it. In the everyday events of life, God is working. For David, it was as a son, God was working. For David, it was as a sibling, God was working in his life as a sibling. For David, it was as a shepherd. God was working out there in the fields when he was a shepherd. For David, it was when he was a servant for Saul and he was playing his harp. God was working. In the everyday events of life, God was at work. I didn't mention this last week, and I don't want to re-preach the message, but I think it's important that we understand when we look at the Bible, sometimes we read these stories and we just read them chronologically really quick, and it's like it all just happened really fast. But you got to understand, now there's some debate about the timeline of events in 1 Samuel 16 and 17, and so don't hold me to this. There's people that differ a little bit, but not much. Some people believe that possibly David in 1 Samuel 16 was anointed when he was maybe 10 or 12 years old. He was the youngest. He was the lad. He was out with the sheep when they called for the sons of, when Samuel called for the sons of Jesse. David was not even included. Now there's debate about how old he was. I'm just giving you an example. Some believe he was 10 or 12 years old. Then some believe that when he went to play before Saul, at that time he was maybe 16, 17 years old when he went and he was a servant for Saul at the palace. And then some will, you know, a lot of the storybooks or different things that you'll see will have David as a little child defeating Goliath. And I don't believe that personally. You say, well, they calls him a youth or he's ruddy. There's some definitions there, but you got to understand all these words. I believe David was possibly 17, 18, even upwards towards 20 years old when he fought Goliath. And I could give you the reasons I believe that. Most people believe David falls somewhere in that category. You'll find them saying he's anywhere from 16 to possibly 21, 22 years old when this event happened in 1 Samuel 17. So what I'm trying to say is from 16:1 to 17, it could have been 10 years. You follow what I mean? 10 years is a long time. Now, the older you get, it doesn't feel like it. But if you were to look back over the past 10 years in my life, two of my children were not here 10 years ago. Right? And so you got to understand, there's a lot that happened between 1 Samuel 16 and 1 Samuel 17. And that's everyday life. And that's what we talked about last week. God is working every day of our life. When we're going to work, when the young people are at school, when we're at the house, and all the events of our life, God is always working. God is bringing all those things together, and he's working in and through them to get us, to conform us to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. So God is at work every day. I just want to clarify that again. Every day of our life, in the normal routine and everyday struggles of life, God is at work. And so I just wanted to kind of remind you of that. God is always working, right? At home, at work, in church, on the ball field, in the classroom. God is at work. But there are things that can really, there's events or there's things that can really have a major effect on our lives. And I want to look at it from that angle tonight. See, last week we looked at the everyday life. God's always working. Even when we don't see it. Even when we think, what is going on? You'll remember the bookmark I brought in, I hope. On the back, it just looked like a mess. And on the other side, it was a pretty picture, right? And so that's our life. Sometimes our lives seem like a mess. Every day we're just going through life and it feels like, what is going on? Where is God? And the whole time God is making a masterpiece out of the mess. God's taking that mess that we call life, everyday life, and God is making a masterpiece out of it. But every so often in this mess, and I'm sorry for calling your life a mess. I'll just say mine is, okay? Right? I'm sorry for saying life is a mess. Life is good. God is good. But you know what I mean. Sometimes it just feels like, what is going on? But in the midst of the mess, every now and then, God will just do something that changes everything. And that's what happens here in 1 Samuel 17. And so I want to talk to you tonight about the power of one. The power of one. And I want to look at it from a couple different angles. Not many tonight, but the first one I want to look at is this. The power of one individual. 1 Samuel 17 is a story about the power of one individual. Now you're thinking, I know who that one individual is, and you're right. It's David. But can I tell you, he's not the only individual in 1 Samuel 17. And there's numerous individuals in 1 Samuel 17 that had power, that were able to impact or to affect a situation. I want to give you one of them. Pastor read about him in verse number 24, and we're going to talk about Goliath. Look at verse number 4 of 1 Samuel 17. The Bible says, and there went out, look at this, a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And so there was a champion, and his name was Goliath. Look at verse number 8. It says, and he, who, Goliath, he individually, he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And verse 10 says, and the Philistine, you see that? The Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. So you see, we've got Goliath, a champion. He's the Philistine, it says. He is one individual that had the ability or the capacity to intimidate the whole army of Israel. You see what I'm talking about? The power of one? One man, a Philistine, a champion, a man by the name of Goliath, one man stood out and he cried out to the armies of Israel and he said, I defy the armies of Israel and their God. Send somebody to fight with me. And the Bible says that the whole army of Israel was afraid. Verse 11 says that they were all dismayed and greatly afraid. One man, one individual. Look at verse number 23, as Pastor read 24. It says, and he talked, in verse 23, it says, and he talked with them. Behold, there came up, here it is again, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name. It's like God wants us to know it's one man. I mean, how many ways can you say one man? The champion, the Philistine, the giant named Goliath. It's as if God wanted us to understand this is one individual. But this one individual had a great power. This one individual had a great ability. This one individual had the capacity to affect an entire situation, an entire nation. And so we see the power of one. Verse number 24, it says, and all the men of Israel, when they saw, look at it, the man. Are you with me? I'm really trying to emphasize tonight the power of one. I want you to understand that, yes, God works every day in the little things of our lives, but every now and then, God will work in a big thing in our life. And here's a big thing in Israel's life, and his name is Goliath. Verse 24, when all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him, and they were sore afraid. It's amazing the power that one individual can have on a group of people. It's amazing. I thought about it in the years of youth ministry that I've served here at the church. I don't even know, 2010 is when we began in the youth ministry. My wife and I, well, we helped a little bit before that, but we took over the youth ministry in 2010. So I've been the youth pastor here at the church for 15 years. And over the past 15 years of doing youth ministry, I'm amazed at the power that one individual can have. One individual, one man, one young man, one young lady, one individual can have an influence, an impact on an entire group of people. And so this power that I talk about is not just positive power. You see, Goliath's power was not positive, it was negative, but I'm just telling you, the power of one individual can really make a difference. Goliath was making a difference. You've probably seen it, maybe even in your family, the power of one. The power of that one individual in your family that when they're doing good, the whole family's doing good. When they're doing bad, the whole family's doing bad. Or maybe that one individual that everything's good at Thanksgiving until they show up.
And it's amazing the power that that one individual can have over the entire dinner. It's amazing the power of one. Maybe it's in your family. Maybe it's at work. You say, yeah, he's called supervisor. Right? That one individual that can walk in and everything changes, right? It may not be supervisor. It may be coworker. Sometimes it's just that one coworker. Everything's going good until she shows up or until he shows up. Right? Just one. The power of one. We see it in Goliath here. Not only do we see it in Goliath, but we see it in Saul. I want to move along here. I think Goliath, we see intimidation. Goliath has got the power to intimidate. And as I said, man, you could preach an entire message on that thought alone. But we see not only the power of one named Goliath, we see the power of one named Saul. Look at verse number 2. It says this. It says in verse number 2, and Saul. It's as if God wants us to know about Saul. It says, and Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together. Look at verse number 11. It says, and in verse number 11, it says, when Saul and all Israel heard those words. It's almost as if the Bible wants us to know about Saul. And I might be reading a little bit between the lines here, but I personally believe that one of the reasons we see Saul and, well, you say he's the king. Yes, he's the king. But Saul is also head and shoulders taller than everyone else in Israel. You remember that, right? Saul, when they looked out over Israel, made him king. The Bible says that he was head and shoulders above everyone else. He was Alan Merriman. Right? He didn't look that good, did he, Brother Al? That's right. But Saul was the man that everybody was looking to. It's kind of like if somebody come up in here, I'm not going to look at big Alan Merriman. I'm going to look at bigger Alan Merriman, right? Alan Wayne, and be like, hey, you can fight with him, okay? We're going to send him to battle, right? That's our one, okay? Right? But Saul is the one that should be representing Israel. Saul is the man that should be going out and fighting Goliath, but Saul won't go fight. It's obvious in the story that Saul is not going to step up and fight. And it's interesting that it says, and Saul, when Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. I just believe that Saul influenced everyone else. When that Goliath came out, that champion came out, and he began to defy the armies of Israel, no doubt all those armies of Israel probably looked to King Saul. They say, you're the biggest guy around here, right? You're head and shoulders bigger than the rest of us. You're the king. What you gonna do? And when Saul didn't do anything, I believe it influenced the others. They began to be afraid. When they saw that their giant, when they saw that their king was afraid, they began to be afraid. You see the power of one? One person can intimidate an entire army. One person can influence an entire army. I just believe had Saul stood up and said, I'll go fight Goliath, I believe those soldiers would have stood beside him. He's their king. But because Saul was afraid, they were afraid. I'm talking to you tonight about the power of one. The power to intimidate, the power to influence. And then look at verse number 12. This is where it picks up. It says, now David. Things are about to pick up. Verse 12 says, now David. Right? Look at verse number 14. It says, and David. Verse number 15, but David. God says, hey, I want to tell you about a man named David. Right? Look at verse number 23. Verse 23, it says, and it came to pass. Oh, I'm in chapter 16. Verse 23 and 17, it says, and as he talked with him, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And look at it. And David heard him. Verse 24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were so afraid, right? But we saw what David said in verse number 26. And David spake unto the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? It's hard not to read down through all that is said here. Look at verse number 30. I'm going to skip some for sake of time. Look at verse number 32. It says, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. David said, hey, don't be afraid. I'll go fight him. And then he goes on. He says, I'll do better than go fight him. I'm going to defeat him. He actually doesn't say, I'm going to defeat him. He says, I'll go fight him. The Lord's going to defeat him. That's what he says. He says, hey, the same God that delivered the lion and the bear, that same God is going to deliver this uncircumcised Philistine. David said, hey, I'll go fight him. Don't y'all worry. I'll go fight this giant named Saul. And so we see the power of one. David said, I will fight him. Not only will I fight him, but God will defeat him. What an example of the power of one individual. Goliath intimidated all of Israel. Saul influenced all of Israel. But David, he inspired all of Israel. Look at verse number 51. I know I'm skipping around here. You have to read it on your own time. Look at verse 51. It says, therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof. Took this giant sword, just so you know. Drew it out of the sheath thereof. I may come back to that in a minute. And slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Look at verse 52. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines. And God gave a victory. David defeated that giant and all the men of Israel and Judah. They arose from their fear and their dismay and they pursued the Philistines, and they defeated them that day. Why? Because of one man. Because of the power of one. The power of one to inspire a whole army in Israel. Okay? I mean, do you get what I'm saying tonight? The power of one individual. What an impact that one individual can have. I thought about a quote that many of you have probably heard many times, and it came to my mind as I was thinking about the power of one individual, and I looked it up, and there's a quote by D.L. Moody, and he said this, and I quote, he said, the world has yet to see what God will do with a man fully consecrated to him. And then D.L. Moody said this, he said, by God's help, I aim to be that man. D.L. Moody said, what could God do with one man that's fully consecrated, one man that's totally surrendered to God? What could God do with that one man? And D.L. Moody said, I aim to be that man. And if you know the story of D.L. Moody, God used D.L. Moody in a mighty way. Whether you agree with all that D.L. Moody believed, theologically speaking, it does not matter. You cannot deny the fact that God used D.L. Moody in a mighty way. Why? Because D.L. Moody understood the power of one. Do you tonight understand the power of one individual? I thought about another story that I've heard about. I've never seen the movie, I don't even know what's in it. I'm just putting that disclaimer out there, okay? But there's a movie called Hacksaw Ridge, and I thought about the story. I've heard the story of Hacksaw Ridge, and it talks about Desmond Doss, who was a World War II man that rescued 75 wounded soldiers, and he was said to be praying the entire time, Lord, help me to get one more. Lord, help me to get one more. The difference that one man can make. One man that says, I want to make a difference. I want to do something great. I want to inspire some people. Would to God we'd get some young people tonight that would decide, I don't want to be a Goliath and intimidate people. I've seen so many young people, Pastor, with so much potential, but they used it the way Goliath used his. I've seen so many young people with so much potential like Saul, head and shoulders above the rest, but did not use their power to intimidate, but they sure didn't use it in a positive way to influence. They just did nothing. But where are the Davids? Where is the one that says, I want to inspire? I want to inspire people to do something great for God. I want to be that one that says, you know what? I'll do it. I'll fight. I'll do what God says do. I'll be obedient to God, and I'll inspire some others to follow me. We need those ones, the power of one individual. I need to be reminded in my own life, what am I doing with my influence? What am I doing with the power that God's given me? I think of C.T. Studd, one life. One life shall soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. We got one shot at this thing called life. One chance to serve God. One chance to make a difference. One chance to do God's will. What are we going to do with our one life? What are we going to do as an individual? You got to understand, there's power in one. The story of David, 1 Samuel 17, it's full of truth. But one of the greatest truths in 1 Samuel 17, I prayed this past week, and I wanted to dig in verse by verse by verse, but I kept saying, God, just give me a thought. And it's as if God said, hey, I want you to preach on the power of one. Because David was one man, but David made a big difference because that one man was with, the Lord was with him. I don't want you to get it twisted now. David did nothing on his own. It was all God. David understood that the victory was the Lord's. If he was going to make a difference, it was going to be with God. You see, the righteous are bold as a lion. That's what the Bible says. David was bold as a lion. Why? Because he was righteous at this time in his life. Saul was unrighteous and he was afraid. Saul didn't have any courage. Why? Because he wasn't living for God. The Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and the Spirit of the Lord was resting on David. And therefore, David was bold as a lion. He was courageous. He was one man that was willing to make a difference. And so we see the power of one individual. Not only do we see the power of one individual, but we see the power of one incident. As I've already said, God is working in the everyday activities of life, but we never know when that one incident or event is going to change everything. See, we don't know. We don't know when God is just going to step in one incident in our life, one event in our life, and God's going to change everything. You know, you don't know. We came to church here tonight, and there could be someone in this room tonight. You had no idea. You thought you were just going through everyday life as a son, as a daughter, as a husband, as a wife. You thought you were just doing what you do. You go to church Sunday morning. You go to church Sunday night. And tonight, God could just step in, and tonight could be an event. God could use an incident in your life to change it forever, because that's the power of one. The power of one incident can change our lives forever. That's what happened in David's life here. Look at verse number 17. Chapter 17, verse 17, it says, "And Jesse said unto David his son, take now to thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren." Verse number 20 says, "And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle." Can I tell you, I doubt David had any idea today was the day. There's no reason in the scripture for us to believe that David knew the way his life was about to change. David was just doing what he always did. David's a shepherd boy. David then went home. If you read back in verse number, I think it's verse 15, it says David went back from serving Saul. He went back home. His brothers went to war. David's at home. He's keeping the sheep as he's always done. And all of a sudden, Jesse calls for him, and his dad says, "Hey, son, I want you to go down. I want you to carry this stuff down to the battle. I want you to see how things are going and report back to me." And I just believe in my heart that David had no idea what was about to happen. David just thought it was another errand for his dad, another chore, another activity, another thing that dad sent him to do. But little did David know that this event, this errand was about to change his life forever. This incident was going to change not only David, but it was going to change Israel, and it was going to change us forever. We're still talking about this day today. The world knows about this event. Lost people know about it. I would dare say, I understand in some remote parts of the world where they're shut away from the Bible, they don't know about this story. But can I tell you, in the modern world today, I would say in our country today, there are very few, if any, that don't know the story of David and Goliath. It's used in sports events, and it's used in military things. I mean, it's a battle of David and Goliath, the giant against that little youth, that little lad, right? Everybody knows the story. David had no idea that day that that was what was going to happen, that God was going to change his life forever. No idea. One incident in life can change our life and the lives of many others. Look at verse number 45. Verse 45 says, "Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of the host, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." Look at verse 46. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. David said, hey, things are about to change today. This day. Little did David know when he woke up that morning early. I said he rose up early in the morning. Little did David know when he rose up early that morning how his life was about to change. But just like that, in a moment, just like that, God changed David's life forever. And can I tell you, God will do that for you. You'll be going through life, the everyday, the normal routine of life, getting up, going to work, taking care of the family, going to school, going to practice, going to sports, going to this, going to that, doing this, doing that. And then all of a sudden, if we walk with God, all of a sudden, just one day, God will just step in and there'll be an incident. There'll be an individual that'll change our lives forever. I thought about it last week. I mentioned last week the everyday events and then the mountains and the valleys of life. You know, I had no idea October the 16th, 2005. I was thinking back over it. I had no idea. I woke up October the 16th, 2005, the same way I had woke up so many other mornings of my life, hungover, sick, tired of the way my life was, with alcohol on my breath and cigarette smoke on my hands. My life was an absolute wreck, and I woke up that Sunday morning thinking it was going to be just like every other Sunday morning. I'd go over to my brother's house, and we'd watch a NASCAR race or an NFL football game, and we would drink, and we'd do this, and we'd do that. But little did I know that Sunday night I decided God had been working in my life to walk into the back of a Baptist church, and I never met Dale Freeman in my life, but he stood up and preached, and the Holy Spirit of God got a hold of my heart, and I got under Holy Ghost conviction. I walked out of that church lost, and I went to my house, and Brother Calvin called me and asked me could he come by and talk to me, and he came to my house, and he picked me up, and we rode up to Pick and Pack and there in Quinque in Rutgersville, and he took the Bible, and he showed me that I was lost, and that if I stayed in that condition, I was going to die and go to hell. I remember he showed me John chapter 3 and verses 16, 17, 18, that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And I said, that's me. And he said, but if you believe that Jesus died for you and you receive him into your heart, he'll save you. And I prayed and I asked Jesus to come into my heart. And can I tell you, when I woke up October the 16th, I had no idea what was going to happen that night. But can I tell you, that night I got saved. I got born again. There was an event. There was an incident in my life that changed my life and the life of my family forever. Amen. That's what God does. Amen. You say, man, I've heard that story. Good, because I'm going to keep on telling it to you as long as I got breath, because I don't ever want to get over what God did for me. If Paul could stand up and continuously tell people about his event, his incident on the road to Damascus, can I tell you, I'm going to keep standing up and telling about my event, my incident at Quinque, at Pick and Pack, at Ryan's funeral home, sitting in that parking lot where God changed my life. The power of one incident, one event in your life can change it forever. One event, one incident. That's the power. That's the power that God has. That's what we see in this story. There's so many incidents and people that and individuals that were impacted. I thought about that lad with his lunch. He had no idea. He had no idea that day he was going to give his lunch to those men and feed the multitudes. But one little lad, one incident in his life, he handed his lunch over to God, and God used it, blessed it, and fed the multitudes with it, and we're still talking about it today. The woman at the well, just one woman. A Samaritan woman went to the well and she met Jesus. And can I tell you, that woman's life, that incident changed her life forever. She went and found all these other people and said, hey, come see a man that's told me all things. And she went and got some other people, and their lives were changed forever. One individual, one incident. I think about, I already mentioned it, Paul on the road to Damascus. Paul's persecuting Christians. Paul's chasing Christians. Paul's trying to lock up Christians. Little did Paul know that on the road to Damascus, there was going to be a great light shine from heaven that was going to change Paul's life forever. But it's the power of one individual, the power of one incident. I think about Esther. One woman said, I'll go. If I perish, I perish. But I will go. I'll stand before the king. And she went and she stood before that king. One individual, one incident. And can I tell you, she saved an entire nation. It's the power of one. That's what we see in this story in 1 Samuel 17. Our history, American history, is filled with the power of one. I looked up numerous examples. I thought about Patrick Henry, how that he stood up and he gave that great speech and he said, give me liberty or give me death. And that one individual and that one incident impacted America's history forever. Others, I thought about Rosa Parks, and I don't even know the whole story of Rosa Parks, but that one individual had no idea the day that she got on that bus what was about to happen, but that one individual got on that bus and said one word, no. And that incident changed the course of America's history, or it was used as a part of what changed the course of American history. One individual, our church history is full of it. All kinds of examples. If you don't know the story of William Carey, they call him the father of modern missions. I mean, William Carey, God used William Carey to change the way we view missions. You ought to study the way the church, the way that Christians looked at the Great Commission before William Carey. They didn't look at it the way they do today. But one individual got a burden and decided he was going to go to India. And through that one individual, he inspired many other individuals. And there's numerous individuals that were inspired by William Carey to go. And then there was individuals inspired by them to go. And there's individuals inspired by them to go. And today, here we are. I think William Carey went maybe 1792. Here we are 150 years later, don't hold my math there, right? 100 and some years later, and God is still, 200 years, thank you. I told you don't hold my math, right? 200 years, 1792, 1892, 1992, 230 years later, God is still calling missionaries to the mission field because one man got a burden to go to a place, and it impacted the course of church history. And it's over and over, American history, church history. It's all the way around us. One individual, one incident, the power of one. I'll say this as I close. You can shut your Bibles. I thought about this when I read that quote by D.L. Moody. The world has yet to see what God will do with one man fully consecrated to him. And I thought, actually, we have. We have. You know what we're about to do tonight? We're about to commemorate one individual, one incident that changed the world. The greatest incident, the greatest individual, the most powerful incident or individual that ever lived. A man that was fully consecrated to God. Not my will, but thy will be done. And that one man, and that one incident that we're gonna partake in tonight is a picture of his death. The power of that one individual, the power of that one incident has changed the world forever. It's amazing. In many ways, the story of 1 Samuel, in some ways, is a picture of that. I don't know if you've ever heard 1 Samuel 17 preached that way, but I tell you, it's very interesting. You know who sent the son in 1 Samuel 17? His father. There was a giant, one giant, that had a whole group of people dismayed and afraid. Can I tell you, there's a giant in our lives called sin. And it's got us all bound. But God the Father sent the Son, and he slayed the giant. You say, but it's a little different because he was slain. You say, Jesus didn't slay the giant. He was slain. Oh, but he got up out the grave. I thought about in Genesis where it says that you shall bruise his heel. Right? It talks about you shall bruise the serpent. You're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to bruise your head. And I read that verse over in 1 Samuel. You've already shut your Bible. In verse number 17, and David walked over there, and the Bible says he ran. I read it to you a minute ago. He ran over there, and it said he put his foot on top of the head of that giant, and he cut it off. Can I tell you what happened at Calvary? The Son put his foot on the head of Satan, and he cut it off. And he won the victory. The battle's been won. The Son won the battle. He won the victory. One individual, one incident changed the world forever. That's what we're going to commemorate tonight. The impact or the power of one. That's what this is about. It's about the power of one. You can stand to your feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to turn the invitation over to Pastor, and I know we'll prepare here in a minute to take the Lord's table.
Thank you, Pastor David. And we are thankful for good Bible preaching.